Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to talk with Paige Sturth, and we're talking about her new book, One Among Us. Hi, Paige.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Happy to have you here to chat with. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I grew up a little bit west of Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia. Lived there my whole life, still do. I grew up in a large Italian family. My mom is the baby of 18 children, so I was always surrounded by a lot of people, hearing a whole lot of different stories coming from all different angles, and probably found my love for story making with that large family. I wrote my first book in 2011. It's called Believe Like a Child. It's my debut novel. The beginning of that particular book is based on my real life. And the book we're talking about today is One Among Us, which is my third novel. And it came out in late 2014, and I'm just getting ready to go live with my fourth novel.
Great. I came from a large Jewish family, so I have to ask this question. Did you ever find yourself, like, sitting on a couch with your family, extended family around you, and everybody's chattering, and you're like, how did I get into this family?
Yes. Honestly, I thought that as a kid, and sometimes even now I think the same thing, because I am the quieter one. So, honestly, you know this as a writer, you tend to be more quiet and solitary, and then I look around and I think, oh, my goodness, there's just so much noise going on around me. So I'm the quiet one of my family, which people find hard to believe, those who know me. So, yeah, but a lot comes from being around large groups of people that you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a weird dynamic. I just remember my brother and I sitting on the couch surrounded by all the family, and everybody's chattering and very loudly with each other, and my brother and I looking at each other like, how did we land here?
It's so true. If you're not eating, you're screaming. It's one or the other. So.
Well, there's a great, a symmetry between a big Jewish family and big Italian family. I think it's the Mediterranean. There's a lot in common.
There truly is. I agree with that. We just all like to have fun, and I'm sure it's with every nationality to some extent, but we all just like to gather around and have fun. And I'm telling you, the center for us is always food. And
mm-hmm.
Now we've gotten older, maybe a little bit of wine. So,
yep, food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. whatever the celebration, food.
We don't even need something to celebrate. We'll just eat and do it for no reason. Eat and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a nice part of it. I always feel bad for people that have smaller families, and they usually like to come to my house if they come from a smaller family, because they think we're all crazy.
But then anybody coming into a family from the outside thinks that family's nuts.
Well, yeah. Or that family's fun, right? I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, it's about the same.
Yeah. We know we're all dysfunctional in some way.
Yep.
But in a good way.
One of my favorite things to talk to people about are your beginnings as a writer. When you were a child, were you a big reader?
I started reading more when I became a teenager than as a child. So, no, not really. Once I probably hit like about 15, 16 years old, I had a friend whose mother was an avid reader. My friend did not like to read, but her mother introduced me to books. A Woman of Substance is the first book she gave me. And I just loved it from there. I just kept going. I went through the whole B.C. Andrews series. And then I moved into James Patterson and John Saul. And I tend to read more horror thriller type books, although I do read all genres. So I got this started in my teens.
That's interesting. Because when you said A Woman of Substance, immediately I thought of the movie in the 70s or 80s or whatever it was.
Yeah. When people ask me what my favorite book is, I still say that one. I just thought it was a great book. And actually, I have to read it again because I haven't read it in 40 years.
It's weird when you go back to a book you hadn't read in a long time. I recently reread the first series of books I read were Ellery Queen, and I still have the books my parents gave me when I was a kid. And I pulled out one of the books and I was rereading it, and I was like, you know, there's a lot more depth in this book than I thought when I was a child.
I know, and that's the thing. And they say that, and I've read that somewhere, I don't know where I read it, that as we get older, when we reread the same stories, we get a completely different meaning from them. Also, I think that for myself, when I'm reading horror in particular, and it's fast-paced, I tend to lose a lot of details in my reading. And then when I go back, I'm like, oh, I can't believe she did that. I don't remember that happening. Because you're so hooked on what's going to happen next that I kind of like fly through and don't necessarily take in all the details. So the second time, you always get the second perspective.
That's funny because my father would read a book like three times, like really quick in quick succession, because the first time he read it so fast because he wanted to see what happened. And the second
right.
time was to get the details. And the third time is just to enjoy the book. And my mom would go, why are you reading it again? And he goes, because I'm in my second reading.
See, I relate to your father. That's kind of the way it goes. Like, I want to know what happens first. You have to know that. Then you can get down and kind of look at the details and see what's really happened. Unless sometimes some authors, you know, they write something and it's just so profound that you just kind of have to stop and think about it. It could just be a sentence or a couple words. But yeah, I'm with your father on that one.
That's so funny because I read so differently than you and my dad. Because when I read, I read slower, but I have really high comprehension.
So we both read the
same book. He'll finish it and he'll go, where are you now? Because I want to talk to you about it. Hurry up.
That is so funny. Right, so maybe your dad and I have lower reading comprehensions. That's why we have to do it twice or three times in his case.
No, the third time's just for pleasure.
Right. I think that's great. I love it. I just love it. And your mother, does she do that as well, or she's a one time and done?
She's one time and done.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I was telling my husband recently, this sounds kind of silly, but I said, I think I'm going to go back and read Charlotte's Web. I haven't read that since I was a little girl. I don't know what it was. I was just in my car and I'm driving and Charlotte's Web popped into my head. I was like, I'm going to read it again. So.
I did that with Little Women.
Really?
Yeah, because I was, I don't know, I think, you know how sometimes you're just like going through the channels and old movie pops up and it just makes you.
Yeah.
I have the weirdest mind. Movies make me think of books. Books make me think of movies or TV shows. They all pop together with me
in
my head.
But that's great. So, okay, so now I don't feel so odd. Since you went back to Little Women, I'm going to go read Charlotte's Web. And, you know, like, I remember enjoying the book as a kid. And my husband said to me, what's it about? I'm like, you know what, I don't really remember. That's that reading comprehension thing. See? So when I read it the next time, I'll definitely be able to, you know, I'll have a different perspective because it's so many years later. But I am going to do that. And I think I read that when I looked at it on Amazon or wherever I looked at it, that it's a YA book, which really surprised me. So I don't know why that surprised me, but it did.
Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
It's considered a, yeah, okay.
That's what I thought.
I read that when I was 8, 9 years old.
Well, that, see, that's the way I feel. Like I maybe I'm wrong. I was looking at so many different books. I was actually looking for a good YA book to read. The last one I read was Twilight, which I really enjoyed. And I don't read a lot of YA, but I like to put that. You know, I like to read them every now and again. I think they're lighter for me versus, you know, as a person who likes to read horror. And I like to read what I write. So I write what I call real-life horror, and I tend to read more real-life horror and, you know, fantasy horror as well. So it's just a little bit on the lighter side.
That's funny, because I was thinking about that, you know, you go back and forth. Well, I'm very strange in my reading habits. I just read whatever pops into my head. I have a huge and wide collection. I read all different kinds of books.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and probably that's why I don't write one kind of genre, because I read so many different kinds of things.
I think that's great, though. I think that's great. I read from different genres as well. I just tend to, like I said, I'm drawn toward the darker side. I don't know why.
Did you read the Percy Jackson series?
No, I did not.
Oh, they're fun. I actually got my brother hooked.
Oh yeah.
Wait,
the same brother that sat next to you on the sofa and looked at you when your back had.
Uh-huh, same brother. Highly have fun.
I love it.
Yeah, we both have pretty similar tastes. We're both, you know, although he likes some books I don't like, and I like some, like, I don't think I could ever get him to read a Jane Austen. I can't even get him to see a Jane Austen movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. That is too funny.
I'm like, it's not a girly, it is a girly. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
That's funny. Yeah, these men.
Yeah, you know, I know.
Husbands and brothers, they're always so picky about what they want to see and read.
But he'll read other stuff that would be considered romantic, but he won't read Jane Austen because it's too girly.
I wonder if Jane Austen would feel that way, hey?
I don't think she would, because, I mean, she had a lot of brothers. In fact, I think her brothers helped her publish.
Yeah. Jeez. I'll tell you, man.
Yeah, I know. Love them, but, you know.
Yeah.
we're at the halfway point, so this is the point where I want you to talk about your book and, you know, what you'd like the public to know about it and, you know, whatever you'd like to say about it.
Okay, sure. I picked One Among Us because I think it's more universally known, the subject that I wrote on, than my other two books. Not that it's more known, it's just that you hear more about it. So One Among Us is about 11-year-old Maggie Clark, who is kidnapped and put into human sex trafficking. And it is her story from the time she's taken to the end I won't say what happened, because then I'll blow it. But, it's the struggle of this child who is brought up in this really dark and awful world, yet there are people that come into her life throughout this imprisonment, this journey, that bring a lot of light into her life and bring her hope, and she tries to hang on to that, and she finds deep friendships, friendships that most of us wish we could have, people in our lives that are so devoted. And the thing about it is I all of my books start with a child who has to overcome some type of adversity. And part of the reason I write these types of books is I am myself a victim of child abuse, and what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get readers to think about the lifelong ramifications of traumatic childhood experiences and how they shape us as adults. But more so than anything else, I'm trying to, through fiction and awareness, hope that we can create prevention. I don't really spare my reader any details, so when you read my book, you're really going to know what it feels like to be in those circumstances. That is intentional. They're packed with a lot of emotion. If you look at anybody who's reviewing me anywhere, you'll see that I cried, I laughed, I got angry, I screamed. And, you know, because it's a life journey. It's a life journey of Maggie. And sometimes things don't always turn out as we might plan them to as parents. And that's what happened with Maggie's parents, Lorraine and Rob. They, you know, they had a life planned in their heads for Maggie, who was extremely bright, did really well in school, very well spoken for an 11-year-old. And in one, just with one bad decision by her mother, Lorraine, Maggie was kidnapped and taken away from them. And, of course, that's a life-altering moment. But like I said, there's happy moments throughout the book, too, because even in the worst of circumstances, we always find that there is light, or that's what we can hope. We can hope that we can keep our perspective enough that we can see the positive in the very, very negative of life sometimes. So that's why I call it Real Life Horror, because my books are about people that are, you know, could be our neighbors, could be our family, could be in the room next to us. We really don't know. So my villains typically are your regular person on the street or living in the home. So that's a bit about One Among Us. I have another book coming out. It's September timeframe. It's called Born Mobster. And it's this particular character. His name is Tony Bruno. He has some time, or he's in two of my other novels, him along with these two other guys. And Tony Bruno is a member of the Philadelphia Mafia. So, again, Tony starts out with deep adversity as a child and then grows into, you know, a man who has to take care of himself. But that particular book is about children being bullied. So I tend to do that. I tend to look at what was the abuse, how did it impact them, and then how can their journey go on, and what type of people do they turn out to be when they grow up.
Interesting. Bullying is just, it's something, because I went through bullying too. That's like one of the things that, I was bullied. In fact, one of my books, my children's book, is for toddlers. It's a book about how everything is, everybody should accept everybody, everybody's different, and it's for toddlers. Because did you ever see South Pacific?
No.
In the movie, there's a song, kids are, you have to be taught, kids are taught to hate. And it made me want to write that book because it was like, oh, my God, that's true. So why don't we teach the kids not to hate?
Yeah.
So that was, it sounds so simple, but it was like an epiphany for me.
And, you know, it's very true. And, you know, to take it, like, further from a kid, bullying in the workplace is really high and very rampant. And I know in Pennsylvania, where I live, there are no laws against bullying in the workplace. And I'm talking about bullying that's really no different than the schoolyard, except there are adults in offices, and I've seen it. I have a very good friend, very close to me, who is going through it right now. And literally, it's awful. And there is nothing they can do about it. So, you know, I always say, to this friend of mine, I'm like, listen, one day we're going to change that law. We're going to make bullying in the workplace unlawful. And, you know, it makes her happy, but I mean it. And, like, it's just not okay to bring, to do awful things to people for no reason other than getting something out of it that makes you feel good, like power. Powers, you know, I mean, most of them do it that way, so.
Yeah, I was bullied at work, and my mom was working 10 years for a company and was bullied, and she quit because of it. So, yep,
wow. Well, and I just read recently that I don't believe there is a state in the country that actually has anti-bullying laws. So, you know, No, I said there. I don't think there is a state. There is.
Oh,
one.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's. Really,
I had a little hope there for a minute.
Well, you know, I think that this is the whole point. Like, a little bits at a time, that we start to make people aware, and maybe we can change some of the things out there that just aren't right. Because I don't care if you're 5 years old or if you're 55 years old. It's just unnecessary. So the bullying topic is close to my heart, as well as homelessness and things like that. You know, I have a soft spot for people who I feel like they can't protect themselves. It bothers me a lot. So,
Me too. Okay, we're toward the end of the show, and I want you to be able to let people know about any kind of events, whether they're online or in person, that are coming up that you would like them to know about.
Yes, yeah, so I have a big event I'd like to promote right now. I know I have a lot of listeners that live in New York City. I am in New York City. I just got here today. I'm here for Thriller Fest 11 in Manhattan, and it is at the Grand Hyatt, right next to Grand Central Station, and it starts on Friday and Saturday. And people can come in and meet a lot of their favorite authors. There are tons of big names that will be here. Heather Grant is here, and Lee Child, and there's just going to be a ton of great writers. Gillian Flynn is with us this week. So I hope that people will come out. I'm on a panel on Friday at 3:30, and it's about the psychopaths, pretty much, and in writing. It's all about writing and why you write the way you do and what you do. So would love to have people come out on Friday and see me at 3:30 at the Grand Hyatt in New York City, or just come and check out some of the other authors. There's so many great people here this week.
Great. That sounds really fun. Mm-hmm. I wish I lived in New York.
Yeah. You don't want to drive here, though.
It's a little long for me. I'm in California.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about once you get into the city.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody wants to drive in New York City.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So my husband drives me. He's like my little, you know, I'm like Miss Daisy when I get in the car. I don't like to do it. I hate driving.
I don't mind driving. I just don't like driving in an area I don't know. You know
me
what I mean?
Too.
It's when I
Me
don't
too.
Know where I'm going, that's when I get the most stressed. If I know the city, I'm fine. Even if there's traffic, I'm fine. But if
Me
I don't
too.
Know where I'm going.
I am the same way. If I have an interview in person or something like that to do, or go meet with a book club that's local to me, I will have to drive around it if I have to go by myself. I'll have my husband drive around me because I just can't. I don't really care for that, not knowing exactly where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I am, too.
Yeah.
Now, this is my last question. It's really just something that's another personal thing. What is your great passion in life?
My great passion, other than writing, is cooking. I love to cook.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I'll go out to a restaurant and I'll taste something, and I'll go home and I'll start cooking that dish until I perfect it. And my husband's my guinea pig. He keeps trying everything until I have perfected that recipe. So all these, like, I'll go to these restaurants for some of my favorite things, and then I get them right at home, and then I have to go find another restaurant to find something to perfect. So love to cook. I used to, a while ago, 10 years ago, I used to bake wedding cakes. So used to do that for, like, family and friends. But I could do, like, four-tier wedding cakes and stuff like that. I just went and took, like, a class on how to do it because I love to bake. So I love to cook. I love to bake. I definitely cook more than I bake. I am, like, a Facebook junkie with recipes, though. So I watch all these recipes under Tasty and all these other things. And now, so I've been trying them as well.
Do you take pictures of your food?
I do. I actually put out a newsletter called The Quarterly Page, and in every single one I will put a recipe and I'll take a picture. So I'll make the dish that night before I put it out and take a picture of it.
I don't mind that. The one I mind is if somebody's out to dinner and they have to take a picture of their cheeseburger. I mean, I just don't get it.
No, I don't get that either. I'm not doing that. And the other thing I don't do is, oh, I've just checked in at the gym. Nobody cares.
Oh, yeah. Or a picture of them lifting weights. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No, I only take a picture of the food that I put in the recipe in my newsletter. That's it. But, yeah.
That's one of my little buggy boos is like, okay, why are you letting everybody see what you're eating? Or, you know, I don't get it. I mean, the inertia that people have to put out is what really makes me crazy.
I know. Some of it's kind of sad because you're like, well, that's the best thing that happened today. Well, we could look at it like if that's the worst thing that happened, you just took a picture of your hamburger. I guess you had a pretty good day, right?
Well, I mean, if it's an unusual dish, like you go someplace and it has like something you've never eaten before and it's really a gorgeous plate, isn't, that's okay. But a commonplace cheeseburger, please.
That is so funny. That's so true. But no, I don't know.
Or a grilled cheese sandwich, that's even worse.
That's worse than a burger?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, my cat could do that.
That is too funny. So can I ask, what is your passion?
My great passion really is reading. I love books.
Oh,
I love to read.
Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, I love to write, but I think I love to read. I love to read all kinds. I mean, I always am reading. Believe
right.
it or not,
that's
I mean,
great.
I read for the show, but I also read just for my own pleasure.
That is terrific. And are you Kindle or Nook? Sort of like Coke and Pepsi now, you know? Are you Coke or are you Pepsi?
Okay. Do you want to know the truth of the matter? Please,
yes.
No letters, no emails, okay? I have Kindle. I read Kindle because sometimes it's necessary because I have people sending me stuff from other countries.
Uh-huh.
But I like a book.
I
like
know.
A real book. I like a book you can hold in your hand.
And there's nothing like the feel and smell of the paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although, I'll tell you, my Kindle, I can't leave home without it, only because when I go on vacation, you don't have to hold the big book. I remember years ago when you used to have to hold the big book, and God help us if it was windy, and your arm would start to move around, the pages flip around. Now you have this Kindle that weighs nothing. So, but, yes, I do agree. A book is a nice. There's something about feeling it and having it in your hand.
Yep, it's my passion. But that's me. I'm strange. We have come to the end of the show
okay.
on this lovely note.
This went very fast.
I told you it goes fast.
I know,
thank
right?
you. Thank
yeah.
you for being on this show. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.